Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
.818 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop. Kevin will be back on Monday. And, of course, our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. Let's bring in our buddy, Rhett Bryan, the executive producer of Titans Radio.
Hey, Mon.
Rhettster, what's up, bud? Yeah, hey, Mon.
We are a week away from the first training camp practice for the Titans. It's here.
Yeah. All right, I want to ask you about something that caught my eye earlier in the week on social media, and that is Titan superlatives,
yes.
Which came from your staff. Explain, please.
I have two fantastic interns this summer, Anna Glenn Grove, who's a senior at the University of Georgia, lives in Franklin, and Christian Kaposi, who is a Nashville guy and attends Belmont University, and they're really smart, and they had some great ideas. And, you know, in the dead window of time, as we call it, everybody's looking for something to engage people. And we always call it feeding the beast. Feed people what they want because they're just starving for football. And so they had this idea about superlatives. And with 20 years of Titans in the books, they decided to look at Titans past and present and kind of do a superlative list, just like you'd have in the back of your high school or college annual about most likely to succeed or whatever. And so they came up with some categories. They came up with some different entrance for that, and then they put out polls daily, and then the folks voted on it. So to give you an idea, most protective, superlative given to an offensive lineman that was a reliable blocker in the running and passing game, and these linemen had long careers with the Titans or slash Oilers and rarely missed playing time. And so it was, you know, Bruce Matthews, Kevin Mawai, Michael Roos, Brad Hopkins were the ones that they thought you should vote on, and I think they're exactly right. And so I'm pretty sure... Let's see. Yeah. It was it Bruce Matthews that won that one? Anyway, that's the kind of gist of it. And they had a lot of fun with it. A lot of people engaging in it and commenting and thinking about players that they really admire and memories, sparking those things.
A neat thing you guys did. All right, camp a week away. So I'll ask both of you guys this. What storylines, not named Marcus Mariota, intrigue you the most about this team going into camp?
None.
No, just wow. Just kidding. You got it all figured out, Blaine. Okay.
No, right? No, just kidding. Nah,
well, Blaine, let me start with this. And I think most of my questions are on the offensive side of the ball. I think defense is going to be good. And that starts with Dean Pease coming back for a consecutive season as defensive coordinator. He had that health scare at Indianapolis on the road last year, and it was up in the air. He said, nope, I'm back, I'm good. So there's continuity for all involved there. I think the only question I have on defense is making sure about the depth at the outside linebacker position, because we know as of late, you know, Brian Arakpo retired, Derek Morgan retired, and they have Harold Landry coming back in year two, Sharif Finch. They have Cameron Wake at 37 years old. They have a rotation of players. Kamale Correa is still here. And I want to make sure that they have the correct depth so they can rotate and get after the quarterback. I think everything else is pretty doggone good. Linebackers are good. Rashawn Evans is going to be fantastic in year two. Secondary is probably the strongest part of all of it. And the three down linemen, I think there's some very good personnel there. So I think defense is good, except for that outside linebacker spot, just making sure they have some good rotational players there. Offense is where the questions are.
Blaine?
Well, I think another interesting topic you guys tell me is the battle, which no one's talking about.
Okay.
The battle of who's going to start at middle linebacker, Woodyard versus Jayon Brown. I think that's going to be interesting, unless it's already done in the saddle that it's going to be Woodyard or the young guy who's taking over for Yard, and Woodyard is the security blanket just in case. So what do you think about that?
Well, let me say this, and this will be just like the storyline on offense with Delanie Walker coming back from his first major injury and being 35 years old. Mm-hmm. Woodyard's getting a little long in the tooth himself, and every summer it seems like he gets a little behind and then kicks it into gear, and everybody's kind of counted him out a little bit, and he comes back, and he has a fantastic year and contributes and makes big plays. So I'd never count out number 59.
All right.
But your point is valid. Jayon Brown is probably one of the most underrated small linebackers in the league. He's probably somebody that most people don't even know about just because of the market we're in, right? And I think that kind of goes in flux with the whole Rashawn Evans thing, because I think they'll work Rashawn Evans in some of those pass rusher packages because he did it at Alabama. Yeah. So, you know, you may have some deals where guys shift a little bit back there.
Certain situations there.
Right, mm-hmm. Because Dean Pease called it when he got hired, front multiplicity. He wanted to be able to switch interchangeable parts, and that's why it's so important for guys, not only the secondary but the linebacking core, to play multiple positions and roles.
Another topic for me, though, is who's starting at the guard position. You talked about the offense.
Right guard.
And, oh, by the way, let's also throw out there right tackle.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a big one, too.
Is it Rick and Pencil or Penn? He hadn't been in practice. So we have no idea what's going on there.
Well, and that leads to other things like, will the aforementioned Delanie Walker start camp on PUP? Will Jack Conklin start camp on PUP? I think if you're right now looking at this offensive line at right guard, I think it's Kevin Pomfile until Nate Davis, the draft pick from UNC Charlotte, comes along, unless he just has an unbelievable camp. And I think Dennis Kelly, if there's a situation with Conklin and he's not ready, is the right tackle in this thing right now. But, you know, that's subject to change.
Linebackers are interesting to me because, and I'm talking about the second-year linebackers, I think Rashawn Evans, we saw at the end of the season – some of what he can be, and that, you know, you saw him shoot the gap a couple of times with some really great tackles for losses, you know, near, you know, the other team's goal line, or the Titans' goal line, actually. And I think with Rashawn Evans, the skill set is there. It was just a matter of health. Harold Landry, on the other hand, at least to me, needed to learn a few more, you know, tricks of the trade to get to the quarterback. And, you know, this is a guy who had 5.5 sacks and a lot of hurries and some hits. And coaches will tell you that counts too. But I'm going to be fascinated to see the year one to year two improvement with Landry, who dedicated himself in the offseason to be a better pass rusher. Now we'll find out how that translates into numbers.
And I think that starts with his former strength and conditioning coach at Boston College, Frank Pirano, now being the Titans' same role there. And so the guy has been in that building banging weights and working out and getting ready. He looks bigger to me physically already, and getting a change up off that fastball pitch with the motorcycle lean, as Coach Mack calls it, is going to be crucial to him in his arsenal of the passing, you know, pass rushing attack in this thing. But yeah, he is going to be really interesting to watch. And will that light switch come on even brighter? And if that's the case, and Cam Wake is over there on the other side, they could wreak some havoc.
Well, and then the other question is, which Cameron Wake we're going to see. But anyway, on the other side, we'll discuss that as well as other Titans talk. If you have any questions about the Titans or comments, give us a call, 615-567-1000, or on 567-1000, 737-1045. Sorry, Lee Company. But anyway, 737-1045, 827 on the Wake Up Zone. On 104.5 The Zone, let me tell you about another great customer. And I'm talking about Mortgage Investors Group. Zero down VA loans for veterans and military members can help you achieve the American dream of buying a home. Make it a reality. Contact Mortgage Investors Group to get qualified. In fact, VA loans offer low competitive interest rates, no down payment necessary, and no private mortgage insurance. Start thinking about owning a home today. Mortgage Investors Group can help you get started. Be ahead of the other buyers by getting pre-qualified before you start looking. Pre-qualification gives you bargaining power and can help you close quicker. Get pre-qualified. Get moving. And whether you're buying your first home or your fifth, Mortgage Investors Group can help you fulfill your home buying goals. In fact, as a first-time home buyer, applying for that first home loan can seem like a daunting task. But don't worry. Mortgage Investors Group will be with you every step of the way. Let their experts help you get started on the path to home ownership. In fact, 100% financing is possible to take you from renting to owning. Call our friends at Mortgage Investors Group to see if you qualify, or go to MIGonline.com for the office nearest you. Equal housing lender, license number 109111. Great tunes. 8:34 on the Wake Up Zone at 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, Kevin off until Monday. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, DJ/producer, we should say. British Open round two, JB Holmes in the clubhouse at 8 under after a 68 today at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Shane Lowry is also at -8, but to say the least, he is in the weeds right now. Tiger Woods is 3 under for the day. So after giving everybody sort of a doom and gloom forecast for the rest of his career, he has really come back after shooting 78 yesterday. And Brant Snedeker, of course, of Nashville, 2 under in his second round. He is +2 for the tournament, which should be enough to make the cut.
Come on, Sneds.
Yep. All right, we got Rhett Bryan, of course, executive producer for Titans Radio. And, you know, we're knocking around. And Blaine, I agree with you, absolutely, because we really don't know what to expect from Jack Conklin. He should be a motivated guy. Titans didn't pick up his option, so we know, you know, which means he can walk after this year and probably will. But we don't know. Is it going to be Dennis Kelly as the right tackle? Is it going to be Pam Field? Is it going to be Nate Davis at right guard? We don't know for sure. But it, and how does Corey Levin figure into all of this? It's his third year. They liked him at some point, but that's what's going to make the preseason kind of interesting, because there are some jobs on the line.
Ooh. Can he play center too, Levin?
I think he can.
Yes.
So he may be the.
I think he's the insurance policy for Ben Jones, who is entering the last year of his contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But quickly though, I other topics I think that'll be big, I guess, to do for training camp for me anyway, and that would be, can Derrick Henry pick up where he left off at the end of the season? And then number two, which could be number one, oh, my man Byard, probably already the best safety in Titans history or on track for that. What about his contract?
And let me preface.
That could be a distraction, by the way, if it's not done in a reasonable amount of time once camp starts.
And let me preface this by, you know, one of the things I know that Blaine, you know, always talks about, and that is, just because a guy was good the last 6 or 7 games of the season doesn't mean he's going to be good for all of 2019.
Well, and also the teams are gunning for him too.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And they saw what happened there. So it's not going to be, just say, it's going to be rough sledding early on. Let's see how quickly he gets off to a great start here to get the ball rolling.
Sure.
And it's not just on him. Naturally, it's the offensive line as well as the quarterback being productive in the passing game.
And I think that's where you go back and talk about the improvement that they made in the interior of the line with the guards, bringing in Roger Saffold from the Rams to play left guard, and then drafting a Nate Davis and bringing back a Kevin Pomfield who could rotate there at right guard. And that's going to go back to number 8, too. That's going to help him. Now, he's got to get rid of the ball quicker in a lot of situations, but that cylinder is being solidified is going to be big in the efforts of those two gentlemen.
47 sacks allowed last year. I get the sense that behind closed doors, you know, Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith, you know, among others, sort of put that on Mariota, as you said, to get rid of the ball quicker because, you know, 47 sacks. And, you know, we remember, you know, a few games there where they piled up, and he's got to be more decisive.
Well, you take away the Baltimore loss, and you take away 11 sacks right there. So there was a huge breakdown in that game in those 4 quarters. But, yeah, those are numbers you don't want to see at all. You want to get that number cut somewhere in half at the very worst, I would think.
But what about guys, and again, some of this is perception. Some of this is, you know, what the media does during the off season, but I was reading a story on ESPN.com. They were projecting all the NFL franchises 3 years down the road.
Oh, man.
Now, Houston, you've got to look at them and wonder if their window of opportunity is closing on the defensive side.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they've got some great players, truly great players on that side of the ball. But offensively, they've had a crappy offensive line, a quarterback who's had flashes of brilliance. And then, of course, you know, you've got Jacksonville. And you wonder if Jacksonville is just broken to the point where it's going to be hard to fix them. But everybody is holding the Colts up as sort of the model franchise right now, as the heir apparent maybe to the Patriots, you know, the new power, you know, coming into the AFC. You know, you look at how they've drafted. They've drafted Chris Ballard, has done an unbelievable job.
Masterful job.
Masterful job drafting on his offensive line, making their defense better. So, you know, I'm sure John Robinson, you know, was looking at the progress of his team, but he's got one behemoth now in the Colts, a team that the Titans just can't beat. And then they've got, you know, a Texans team that is dangerous if they shore up their offensive line.
Yeah, and I would rank it probably that way. Colts is the team to beat. Texans are going to give you trouble. I'm not as concerned about Jacksonville because them getting Nick Foles at quarterback, I think that's everybody is so high on that in Jacksonville, and all they're trying to do really is catch lightning in a bottle again, just like with Philly a couple of years ago. And that's not discounting him at all, but I think Titans defense could have answers for a guy like him. But the Texans, you hit the nail on the head. As long as they can improve their offensive line, Deshaun Watson and that wide receiving crew would be dangerous. The defense is where, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney did not get an extension. His franchise tag will now apply, and it depends on whether he holds out or not and what happens with that. And J.J. Watt, as good as he is just another injury away from being shelved for any period of time. But, yeah, the Colts, my goodness, how Chris Ballard has drafted and brought in free agents. And you look at the guys that he's extending, the guys that he has already cultivated as later-round picks that – He got for cheaper than street value. And, you know, getting a guy like Darius Leonard last year at linebacker, you talk about a hoss.
And Blaine, wow. You know this. When you nail the draft like the Colts nailed it, you're going to have a ton of cap room because you're not going out there overspending for free agents. Now, they had some cap room and they made some additions, but that's a great position to put your franchise in when you draft as well as Ballard has the last couple of years.
Oh, no doubt about it. And actually, that's what put, you know, the Colts where they are because of that, as well as Luck coming back and being healthy. And I think Luck's going to be even better this year.
Yeah. I'm afraid that's
scary.
Right.
That's scary to think about.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and I mean, man, he's an elite level player. He's a game changer. You know, they've been the luckiest organization with Peyton Manning to Luck.
And I'll tell you something else, too, right, Mark. Now, with this whole series about franchises 3 years down the road, we know that a collective bargaining agreement is on the horizon with that. 2020 could be an uncapped year, just like 2010 was. And Chris Ballard has him sitting in the driver's seat just because of he's done very well with hitting on draft picks and keeping his money, rolling some over. And, you know, not breaking the bank for free agents.
Right. I'd love to hear what you have to say on the way back on the 18-game proposal. And do you think that's just smoke and mirrors and that they want something else, the NFL, that is?
Well, you know. Want to stay for another segment?
Yeah, might as well.
All right. Boy, the public wants and the public gets. 8:43 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. We'll talk about that 18-game schedule. But first, let me give you a word from United Structural Systems. And the next time you're at your home, I want you to look for these things. Doors or windows that are sticking. Maybe cracks in your bricks or a bowing basement wall. Maybe your chimney leans a bit. These are all signs of a possible foundation issue. And when it comes to foundation repair, nobody does it better than United Structural Systems. USS has served Middle Tennessee for over 25 years. Their integrity and reputation is impeccable. Just like Blaine Bishop. Including an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. USS is locally owned, not a franchise. That means they customize a solution for each homeowner depending on your specific needs. They do not have a one-size-fixes-all solution like so many others do. United Structural Systems will give you a detailed free estimate before you make a decision. And as always, you don't pay a dime till the work is done and you are happy. And with over 15,000 satisfied customers, you can feel good about calling United Structural Systems, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or visit them online at usstn.com. United Structural Systems.
Zone.
8:48 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard. Blaine Bishop, Kevin Engram off until Monday. And I'm sure he's thinking about the fact that this is the last day, last real day of his vacation. That sucks, see, man.
I hate that.
I think you're the only one who thinks.
It's like the day before school starts.
You're thinking about the end is coming, dude. Enjoy the moment.
I know, you're right. And, of course, our producer, Jonathan Schaefer. And, of course, we have Rhett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio. Blaine, you had a couple of questions for Rhett, based, first of all, on Titans by the numbers and a couple of other things.
Well, first of all, I want to ask you what you thought about the 18-game schedule that the NFL is kind of proposing here. In your thoughts, do you see any kinks in the armor, or is this just something else to kind of disguise what the NFL is really looking for? I mean, do they really want to play 18 games? There's so many other things that have to fall into place to even do that.
Yeah, there's a primary list you got to start checking off, and there's a lot of other things that you're not even thinking about to get to that. You're right. I think the dent in the armor would be the whole fact of you having an availability for 16 games, except for like specialists like punters and all that. I don't think that will take place. I think that's put in there kind of as an early poison pill to get the conversation rolling and started.
It's you can't find 32 quarterbacks. You can't find 32 kickers.
That's exactly
right. And that's where the 18-game schedule becomes difficult. Now, on the other side, the Wall Street Journal sort of monetized it, broke it down. Mm-hmm. It's worth $2.25 billion a year to the owners with a renegotiated television contract, probably.
Yes, and one of the reasons I think the owners have always set pat on the preseason, and Blaine, you well know this, playing, you didn't get your big checks, your game checks, till the regular season kicked in.
Yeah.
So those two home preseason games, they were getting gate, ticket, concession, whatever, that they were making it. Right there. Oh. But how much more could you make in a game that counts with butts and seats? So, yes.
Plus the other thing, the new frontier, both of us are big fans of streaming services.
Oh, yeah.
And you wonder how Amazon Prime, how Netflix, how Hulu, how, any number, CBS, how any of these streaming services might get involved in the next TV contract, because that seems to be the future.
It is. People are still cutting the cord every day. And, I cut my cord a long time ago, 5 years ago. And I really enjoy streaming services. And when they started with, Twitter and Amazon Prime and those in the last couple of years, broadcasting the Thursday night game, simulcasting those, it's been great to be able to just see that without going to any other sources. But, yeah, that certainly comes into play. And then you think about all the other things that, Blaine, you immediately think about. And how does your practice squad increase? Do you have two bye weeks? All of those kinds of things would come into this. But it seems like there is a serious conversation and a push now towards really thinking about an 18-game schedule, where this thing comes up every year annually and it kind of goes away. I hear more about it now than I have in the last, 4 or 5 years, just because of the topics that are coming up with it, with that availability in a 16 out of 18 game window. Your quarterbacks, you're not going to have any exceptions there. You're right. You can't find 32 quarterbacks. And so are you going to play them 18 games and the rest of their teammates, for the most part, get to play 16 games? That's going to cause a problem. So, again, I don't think that happens. I think that's just something to get the conversation started.
I think eventually they might get there. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take some huge concessions by the owners financially, roster size, a lot of different things. They want it badly because they can smell the money.
Well, I think it's the players like they have 40... a deal already somewhere on the table if they get this done. For them to even say, we want to get this done by September 5th, it's kind of weird to me. I've never seen them being so nice and cordial.
Well, now that's a thought,
trying
Blaine.
To get something done. This is the first time for that.
Maybe they got something in their hip pocket. Who knows?
Yeah, they may. Well, we did tighten by the numbers, and naturally, we want to start with a number that is a player that just retired. Derek Morgan. Mm-hmm. We were looking up his numbers. He is third all-time in Titans history in sacks. It was a little surprising.
Sixth all-time in franchise history.
Right. So that was with 44 and a half, man. I think we underplayed. And just think he missed part of one season to begin his rookie year with a torn ACL.
That's
and then
right.
Last year he was on again, off again. He only had one half. This guy could have got over 50 sacks easy.
Absolutely, he could have. And I think what gets lost in all of his career, 16th overall pick in, 2010, I guess, played his whole career for the Titans. And so the expectations were there. And, he was a hand-in-the-dirt dude to begin with. And the transition to outside linebacker pass rusher, he did it as good as anybody.
I was
in
shocked.
Terms, because that ain't you I'm play shocked. The game so long, Blaine, that is not an easy thing to
do. Especially how he was built. It wasn't like he was a thin, lean guy like Javon Kearse.
Right.
He was a big trunk.
Heavy in the rear end.
Right.
Exactly.
He actually did an excellent job.
That's where I have the most respect for him, is that he went from a 4-3 to a 3-4 and made that transition to another position. And not to mention, he's a fantastic human being.
Mm-hmm.
Smart guy, entrepreneur. He will do very
well.
Great
story on him in The Undefeated about, how he's investing in certain companies to try to improve humanity.
Well, I would tell you something right now, right. And he's really big in the medicinal properties of cannabis.
Yeah,
and I'm
CBD
telling you right
oils.
Now, mm-hmm. when that changes, because so many states are changing
those
laws, we will have that nationally as lifted as an illegal substance at some point, and it will be like the second prohibition back in the 20s. And that dude knows enough about it and has enough people.
Deeply.
I guarantee he's investing in that. He'll make more than he ever thought about playing football.
No doubt about it. And then lastly, for me, we were talking Titans out of numbers. The number 81, which is, kind of interesting in itself, with Chris Sanders really only being a Titan, I guess, a couple of those years, and mostly a Tennessee Oiler, Houston Oiler. And Brandon Jones is the other guy we came up with that number.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. Like, man, 81 is kind of a number in Titans history probably that could be, if you're coming in as a wide receiver, maybe you want to put your stamp on.
Well, and Jonnu Smith owns that number
right now. Right.
So what you hope is that, if you do this next year, that Jonnu has got a big layer of performance. Yeah, I mean, Jonnu's got really good talent, and he was really starting to come on late in the season before he got hurt because he was thrown into the fire after week one when Delaney went down with a broken leg in Miami. And let's go Titans by the numbers again, because I know you finished with number 84, Corey Davis, and that's another training camp and season question with that young man. Does he stack performances week to week like he had in the wins and big performances over Philly and New England last year at Nissan Stadium? 9 catches for 161 and a score versus Philly, 7 for 125 and a score versus New England. That equals 25% of his season total for catches, 32% of his yards, and 50% of his touchdowns.
Ooh.
If you can get that out of him in 16 games, and I don't, you're not going to have 150 yards every week.
What does it say?
If you can get somewhere close to that for 16 games, that is your leading receiver, catches, yards, and they're moving the chains and doing some good stuff.
Oh, man, we're talking about 13, 14, 15 in a game.